Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to ACB Radio Mainstream's Main Menu. Main Menu is a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective, produced by and for ACB Radio Mainstream. On the programme this week, a person who should be very familiar to many ACB Radio listeners, the former ACB Radio director and pioneer, Jonathan Mosen, who a year ago began working for Pulse Data International. This week, Pulse Data have a series of exciting product announcements. And a few days ago, Jonathan and I used the iVocalize technology, which powers the ACB Radio chat rooms, to record the following interview. I began by asking Jonathan, what is it that he does for Pulse Data?
Yeah, hi, Dave. Good to talk to you, and thanks for the opportunity. I'm the blindness product marketing manager with Pulse Data International. So it's my job to decide what features we put into our blindness products, indeed what future blindness products actually consist of, work with our sales teams around the world because we have subsidiary companies in Britain and other parts of Europe and the United States and Australia, etc., to set prices and to make sure that people get the equipment that they need. So my job is to really look after the blindness products, in short. BrowNote is our flagship product in the blindness field at the moment. We do carry some other companies' products and support them, such as Windowize from GW Micro and Kurzweil 1000 and a few others. We, of course, in the past have done the Keynote Gold multimedia speech, and we often talk about bringing that back in an XP-friendly form because many people still say that it's the most responsive, accurate software speech that there is, so we look at that. But predominantly, up until this point, the BrailleNote has been our primary emphasis in the blindness side, although we have had other braille display technologies in the past, but it's pretty much BrailleNote. In terms of where we are strong, in the PDA area, we are the market leader in the United States. We are also equally strong in Britain and Australia. Where perhaps we look for growth in the future will be non-English-speaking countries. We've made some inroads there in recent times. We've launched a German version of the BrailleNote, and people who listen to us from Germany, as I know many do, will be interested to know that Michael Lang has recorded an hour-long piece in German about the German BrailleNote, so I encourage German users to seek that out. We also have a French version of the BrailleNote that is in the Parisian French market, and recently we've released that for the French-Canadian market, particularly for provinces like Quebec. So we're continuing to spread our wings in that regard.
Recently I was in the market for a portable device of some description, and I really had to make a tough decision between going for something like the BrailleNote or buying a mainstream notebook computer, some of which now are very small and very powerful and obviously offering increased battery life. What are the arguments now for a blind person finding themselves in that position and considering a blindness-specific note taker? Why would a Braille note be a compelling choice?
It's those issues that have, in fact, motivated us to make the announcements that we're making this week. I think if you're comparing, say, a pocket PC-based device with a laptop, it's very difficult to justify why you wouldn't buy a laptop and a Braille display and go with that, because if you're going to go with something that looks and feels like Windows, it may as well be full Windows rather than a stripped-down version of it. What I think the BrailleNote has going for it is that it's a very intuitive yet powerful user interface with some very blindness-specific technology built right in. For example, the word processor has features such as 26 place markers that allow you, when you're giving a presentation or working on an academic essay, to quickly zap around the document to various bookmarks. Things like if you're going to print a document and emboss it, you can do what we call Braille and print exclusions. So certain transcribers' notes can appear in the Braille version, but not the print version. Also, in the end, it comes down to efficiency. I guess I consider myself a power Windows user myself, but the Braille Note is my favorite piece of technology just as a user of it, because when I'm dealing with my appointments or info in the address list, there are so many hotkeys on the Braille Note, so many ways to quickly access what you need, rather than thinking, okay, is this a checkbox or a radio button, and do I press enter here, or do I bring up a context menu here? Some people have said you better to go with the Windows look and feel, because we should do what sites of people are doing. And what increasingly is becoming the norm is for people to say, well, actually, it's not the how that matters, but the what, that the outcome. It's not the means, it's the ends. If you can interact with a sighted person, send them a really nicely formatted document that looks to them like a Microsoft Word file, and they can send a file to you that started life as a Microsoft Word file, but to you it appears a nicely formatted grade 2 Braille file, then why would you really want to bother dealing with graphical user interfaces that may take longer to work with? We've said, okay, there's lots of great functionality here, but let's put a blindness-specific interface over the top so that blind people can be as efficient in the workplace, in an educational setting, and just getting the job done as possible.
The Braille Note is based on the Windows CE platform, and what does that ultimately mean for the user, and why the choice of Windows CE over other operating system choices?
Yes, it is based on Windows CE, and that's been the case since we launched the Braille Note in 2000. I think the advantage of it is that we can create a user interface that's blindness-specific and implement features that are very much blindness-specific, while still taking advantage of some core functionality in the heart of Windows CE that gives us compatibility with the mainstream. For example, the ability to convert a range of files into Microsoft Word, the fact that there is some reasonably robust email handling technology, the fact that we can put our own user interface over the top of Pocket Internet Explorer. So Windows CE offers us some core componentry that allows us to spend more time on the interface side of things rather than reinventing the wheel of writing some of that core componentry from scratch again.
Do you think there is potential for mainstream screen reading technology to eventually support Windows CE? And how would that sit with the existing arrangement that Pulse Data have with the Keysoft software, which obviously overlays the CE operating system?
There are some difficulties, I think, in that there isn't the same level of access componentry driving Windows CE. So generally, if you're going to build a screen reader for a Windows CE or Pocket PC device, it almost has to be device specific. You either build the hardware yourself, or you select a particular breed of hardware that you're going to operate with, because some of the stuff that's going on there is pretty low level. And I think what you'll find is that rather than people relying on screen readers so much, perhaps we'll get to the point where you'll be able to buy various interfaces, let's say the GW Micro interface for Microsoft Word. And it may not be a screen reader as such. It may be just a package that you install over the top of Word, and you've got this particular interface for Microsoft Word. Now, I'm not speaking for GW Micro. I'm just using their name as an example. So the concept of screen reading may well be under considerable review over the next few years as things develop.
We've talked about what you do, and we've talked about what the Braille Note does. So I believe you have a number of announcements to make. Would you like to summarize the various announcements, and then perhaps we can deal with them one by one?
Okay. Well, in summary, we have a number of initiatives to announce. First of all, something for people who are about to buy Braille Notes. In the very near future, we're switching our Braille display technology. We've had a very high reputation in the marketplace since we launched in 2000 for our Braille, and we've done a lot of research, because one of the most difficult components in a Braille display, in a Braille note taker, is a Braille display. So we're moving towards more reliable Braille cell technology, so we could talk about that. We also have a significant upgrade to announce for existing Braille Note users on the software side that will deliver many of the most requested features and give them a significant performance improvement. We have a new Braille display to talk about, which is designed for use with a PC or a laptop. That's a Bluetooth and USB and amazingly powerful. And finally, we have the world's smallest PDA for the blind with a braille display called BrailleNote PK. It's an extremely exciting and frankly sexy device.
Okay, we'll get to the PK. I'm sure people are very intrigued by that one. Let's start at the beginning there. You mentioned that you've looked at your braille display technology. One of the problems with braille display technology in the past has certainly been the huge cost of refreshable braille, putting it out of the reach of many, unfortunately. Does this new technology address that? What is it about this new technology that makes it special?
This particular technology doesn't address it, but I think any company in this industry would not be telling the truth if they said that they weren't seeking that holy grail. I think there's a lot of work going on in terms of braille display innovation and bringing that cost down, because we're keen to do that as much as anyone. Because the cost of braille technology, you're right, is quite prohibitive for many people. What this technology does, though, is a number of things. Firstly, our tests have indicated we should be able to offer a significant reliability improvement. We've had a high record of quality with the BrailleNote, but we always look to find where we might be able to improve that even further. So sometimes you get dots that don't pop up or dots that don't come down, and we think we might have made a bit of a breakthrough there. The other thing it does is it lightens the weight of the entire BrailleNote. I've just recently had a BrailleNote 32 with this technology made available to me, and it is significantly lighter than my other BrailleNote 32. So there's a weight improvement there, and that's always a good thing. And finally, the thing I really like about it is it's quiet. I wish that I had had this when I was working on ACB radio. If you listen carefully enough, you can hear the braille display going click, click every few seconds as I scroll it. This thing is really, really quiet, and it feels great. In my view, we've made a significant improvement. But I need to stress that this is just for new BrailleNote purchases. The complication of doing this is such that it's not an upgrade that we can offer to existing customers at this point. But yeah, the other thing that's different, by the way, is the cursor routing keys. We did a bit of market research into the cursor routing keys, and what we found was that in situations where the weather got hot and you were using your BrailleNote outside or various other things, the rubbery texture of the cursor routing keys would from time to time create a bit of problem. So we've redesigned those keys, and people will definitely feel a difference. Even if they don't quite feel a textual difference in the display, and we've done our best to make the feel fairly consistent with what we used to offer, they will definitely notice the difference by having a look at the cursor routing keys.
Are we talking about the same technology that's available in the new Pulse Data Braille Note Taker range of products that's going to be in the standalone Brilliant displays?
That's correct. All of the cells that we use for future BrailleNote in the current series, the Brilliant Braille displays, and the BrailleNote PK, our new pocket-sized PDA, will all be using this technology.
And does it have a name?
The cells are just called KGS cells. They're produced by the KGS company of Japan, and we've been monitoring their product, and we're very pleased indeed with their performance and the quality of service we've received from them.
So this is quite a coup for them.
We always look very carefully when we change a supplier of a component so significant as this, and we're delighted with how they're performing. They're a great company to deal with, and we think that customers are going to be pleased with the results.
Let's talk about Brilliant then. This really is going to change the way we think about braille displays, is that right?
I think so, because it's just so jolly easy to carry around. What we have in Brilliant is a very slim, sleek couple of braille displays. At the moment, we're offering a 24-cell version and a 40-cell version. Now, what's cool about this is that you can take them completely wirelessly because they support Bluetooth. They will go for about 25 to 30 hours on Bluetooth, and they will run on battery for an amazing 100 hours if you use the built-in USB port. What's also really interesting is that if you do use the USB port and you connect your laptop to the electricity, then at that point the Brilliant will power itself from your PC, from your laptop. But it's intelligent enough to know that once you disconnect from the mains of your laptop and you're working on your laptop's battery, it will then power itself off its own battery to make sure that you've got maximum performance on the road. So it's really quite an intelligent thing. The other ramification of Bluetooth, of course, which is a short-range wireless communication technology, is that you can actually change the PC that you're working with on the Brailliant without having to plug anything out and plug something else in. You just pair the Brailliant with a different device. So it's really great if you have a PC and a laptop and you want to use one Brailliant for both devices. Well, we feel that this is really going to encourage people to use Braille display technology.
The Bluetooth, that's a first, isn't it, for a Braille display?
I get a bit nervous about claiming firsts because there's so much going on and it's hard to keep up. So I wouldn't like to say with any certainty that it's a first. But if it's not, it's fairly new. It's not that frequent.
You're aiming this at the mobile professional, presumably.
We view Brailliant and BrailleNote PK as a bit of a combination, if you like, because most people who are traveling a lot and in business situations, just like sighted people, they really need to take their laptop and their PDA along with them. And in reality, a busy blind professional isn't going to be any different. So that's right. The idea is that you could throw your Brailliant into a laptop bag, gently we trust, and take it along with you. And you'll barely know it's there because it's so light and thin that it will easily fit in a laptop bag and you're away. So if you're coming to the conventions, get your hands on a Brailliant. You're not going to believe how this thing feels.
There you go. That's a provocative offer. Let's talk about Keysoft then, Jonathan. We keep hearing about product version numbers and it's another upgrade. Why should people bother upgrading yet again?
We're about to take a quantum leap in terms of Keysoft's evolution. That's why we've gone from the 5 to the 6. 6.0 is going to be in the BrailleNote PK, which we're going to talk about. But for existing BrailleNote users, we are going to be delivering an upgrade which does a number of things. The first thing it does is upgrade the very operating system on which the BrailleNote runs. So that's a very low-level kind of upgrade. And we're upgrading to Windows CE 4.2, which enables us to do a range of exciting new things, including full support for wireless. That includes infrastructure and ad hoc modes. In other words, connecting directly with another PC or going through a wireless hotspot, such as you might find at a cafe or a hotel, or connecting to a home or corporate network through wireless. We've also been able to introduce Internet Explorer version 6 technology. It's nice and fast. You notice a significant performance increase, and it will work with significantly more pages. I think I should pause and say that the KeyWeb technology in the BrailleNote, in my view, is really exciting because it's such an intuitive browser to use. You don't have to go into any kind of forms mode to fill in a form. You're in the one mode all the time. You can zap to any link on the page by pressing its initial letter. There are the features that you would expect in a fully-fledged blindness web browser, like being able to skip to the next large block of textual material on a web page and jumping by frame and by heading and all of those things. And, of course, you're reading it there in grade 2 Braille or in speech. So there are massive improvements there. We have full networking support introduced in Keysoft version 6.1, which means that you can log on to a home or corporate network. You can browse the drives. If you've got Wi-Fi too, you can sit outside. If you've got a whole lot of MP3 or Windows media files or whatever stored on your local hard drive, you can browse them and play them, and a whole lot of other additions that we're still working on.
Let's talk about the wireless stuff, because certainly Wi-Fi is the hot topic at the moment, isn't it? Everyone's on about Wi-Fi and hotspots and all this stuff. Now, getting the software alone isn't going to get somebody connected to a wireless network, is it?
Yes, there are two aspects to this. Obviously, you've got to have the software on board the unit, which we're providing, and you will need to get a wireless networking card. There are a number of them about, and we'll test with a number of cards and publish very clearly which cards that we support. But I've been using one in testing that fits into a compact flash slot. It's pretty unobtrusive, and just by inserting it, suddenly the wireless manager comes to life, and you can browse for networks. So if you're in an airport and you don't know precisely whether there is Wi-Fi and if there is what the network is called, it will search for networks. It will put them in a nice list for you. You can choose whichever one you wish to log on to and take it from there. It's all very intuitive. And then additionally, if you have a network that is not advertising itself, in Wi-Fi terms we talk about it advertising its SSID. If it's not advertising it, you can go into our network manager, you can configure all the credentials and log on. So we've covered all the bases. Pretty much anything that you would be able to do in Windows XP, you'll be able to do with our wireless manager.
You mentioned Internet Explorer 6 technology, and the second Tuesday of every month has almost become known in the computing world as Security Tuesday, when Microsoft threw out the latest bunch of security updates and releases for Windows and the browser. How do browser security issues impact the BrailleNote user?
At the moment, and I stress at the moment, Keysoft is not an open platform, and that means that we're fairly secure against those kinds of attacks. That won't be the case for long, and as we open up the platform, then we'll have to look at those security measures, but it's something that we're certainly keeping in mind. At the moment, it's a very safe environment, and in fact, that's one of the big advantages of Keysoft.
Okay, and I feel it's a responsibility to just ask you to just talk people through what it is they need to do if they, you know, if these updates are things that they feel they need and want. Does the upgrade cost, how do people get it, that kind of thing? Obviously, we'll come back at the end and give specific contact details and things, but what's the procedure that people need to follow?
Okay, the first thing to emphasize is that Keysoft 6.1 is not ready at this point. We're announcing it now because we didn't want our loyal BrailleNote users to be under the impression that we were abandoning them with the release of BrailleNote PK. So we're foreshadowing these releases so that people know that they haven't been forgotten and that the existing BrailleNote development cycle is still very much alive. And in fact, the BrailleNote PK's development cycle is assisting the development of Keysoft on the other platform because we're all working on Windows CE 4.2, so we've got a lot more developers working in concert on this. However, if you buy a BrailleNote as of now that we've made these announcements, you will get the update for free when it comes out. That's guaranteed. If you have a software maintenance agreement and you have two upgrade counts remaining on your SMA, then you would use one of your upgrade counts for the operating system upgrade and the other one for updating to Keysoft. If you have an SMA and you have one upgrade remaining, then you will need to buy another SMA to cover the complete part of the package. We think this is quite a generous offer because normally, for example, if you bought a subscription to Microsoft Office, what would generally happen is if Microsoft came out and said, okay, we're releasing Office 2005, but because Windows 98 is getting a little old now, you have to buy Windows XP if you want to use it. Well, that wouldn't be covered in your subscription plan. But what we've said is, look, we realize that money's tight in the blind community, so if you've bought an SMA, we'll throw in the operating system as one piece of software. If you don't have an SMA, then the BrailleNote software upgrade will cost you $399 US. If you're in a different market, you can contact your Pulse Data dealer for that. And the other thing I should say is, even though we're giving you an operating system upgrade, you will be able to upgrade your unit yourself. So we'll be sending all of our customers who are entitled to this upgrade a compact flash card, and you'll be able to install that. It will halt the operating system and halt Keysoft, upgrade your operating system, upgrade your Keysoft, and you'll be in business again. So there's no need to return your units to base, even though it is a significant operating system upgrade. That technology is quite complex to implement, and we would be expecting late in the fourth quarter that we will be able to release this.
It seems like quite a major update, obviously changing the operating system and updating Keysoft. So are people advised to have their unit running on mains power or have plenty of battery life left before they start the upgrade? How long is it likely to take, and how much power do they need?
I can't give you times in terms of how long the process takes, but what I can say is that I've been working with our development engineers. My ideal scenario would be that the software to upgrade will not run unless you're running on the mains I really would not advise people to do this upgrade on battery. You know, even if you've got 100% battery, there is still some risk, and we want to make this as risk-proof as possible.
Do people need to back up their data before upgrading their operating system and KeySoft?
Well, yes. Whenever you install an upgrade of anything on any computing device, I couldn't emphasize enough, you should back up. But yes, that should happen, and there will probably be some conversions that need to go on, because we'll be using some slightly different database technology for some of the functions. So we'll probably run through some sort of conversion process, and KeySoft users will be familiar with this. When we upgraded people to an improved planner system that supports recurring appointments and full synchronization with Outlook, we ran an upgrade program that allowed you to convert your existing databases over, and we would expect that if such a process is necessary, that will happen automatically the first time you run the new software.
Right, and is there anything else about the new software once it's installed that people will find different?
There will be some changes. Off the options menu, for example, you'll find a whole new menu called the connectivity menu, and that covers things like using networking, getting the Wi-Fi up and running, searching for wireless networks. And we're changing the way that the directory of services works, because for those not familiar with KeySoft, we had a system that dates back to when we offered email only in terms of internet options, called the directory of services, and we put that off the email menu because basically that was all we did. And the more we've added, such as web browsing and different things, having it in the email menu has become a bit of an anomaly. So we're creating a difference, we're making a distinction between email connectivity, setting up a different email account and a different outgoing email name and things, from the actual process of connecting to various services. So people will notice a new thing called network configuration when they go into the options menu and then choose the connectivity menu. So it is going to be a bit different. KeySoft's documentation has always had a very high reputation, and you can be sure it will be brought right up to date, and we'll produce a tutorial available in audio as well as text, so that we can help people through it.
Well, these updates, are they also applicable to the VoiceNote range of products as well?
Yeah, when we talk about BrailleNote, we're kind of talking about the BrailleNote family of products. So everything that I've said, with the exception, of course, of the new Braille displays, but everything I've said about the software applies to VoiceNote as well. They'll be getting a facelift as well.
Okay. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I'm itching to talk about the BrailleNote PK. What is BrailleNote PK?
I've been itching to talk about the BrailleNote PK for months. Okay, the BrailleNote PK is the world's smallest PDA for the blind, and I do have some data on how small that is, and I'll get to that in just a moment. It's very rugged. It's designed to be traveled with, to go in your pocket. It runs a very fast processor by mobile PC standards. It has KeySoft 6.0 on it, which supports full support for Wi-Fi, Internet Explorer 6. It's got networking capability. It's got a built-in Bluetooth port, which is really brilliant, and I can give you a bit of a demo of how I use Bluetooth for a range of things. The Bluetooth means, for example, that if you have a Bluetooth keyboard, which is wireless, then suddenly you've got a Braille keyboard and a standard QWERTY keyboard, whichever you choose to use at any given time. So if you're traveling on a plane, you may just use the Braille keyboard, which is very quiet and tiny, and Braille away. And then when you get to a hotel, you can get out your full-sized Bluetooth keyboard and type it at greater comfort. The BrailleNote PK also has support for Windows Media Audio, for WAV files, AIF files, and a few other obscure format, MP3 of course. It's full stereo when you plug headphones in. It's got something that I really like, and that is that when you get out of the MP3 player, you can go into another application, such as the word processor or the email, and the MP3 file or the Windows Media file keeps on playing, and you have separate control over the volume of the speech and the volume of the audio. People who use software speech will be familiar with the dilemma that this often creates, that you want to have some music in the background when you're working, and the trouble is it gets very loud and it drowns out the speech, so we don't have that problem on the BrailleNote PK. It also has some nice features like the ability to remember your place in the last MP3 file or Windows Media file that you were playing, if you were reading an audio book or something like that. So there's a lot of stuff tucked away in this. It is just such a such a portable, pocket-sized device, and yet it's very powerful.
Okay, let's try and work through some of that. Which wireless standard is the PK using, Jonathan? Is it the 11B or the new 11G?
At this point, it's 11B, but we expect that they will probably change in the future. And yeah, we've got all the full Wi-Fi features that I talked about earlier, the ability to search for networks and get a list of what you're allowed to access or to put specific credentials in that you know about. Just to give you an idea of the dimensions, in the imperial measurements, we're talking 6x8 by 3.6 by 1.3 inches, and it weighs in at just under a pound. So that's really small. And in metrics, we're talking about 174 millimeters by 92 millimeters by 32 millimeters, and it weighs in, get this, at 450 grams.
Since you're talking about the physical dimensions of the product, so there are going to be those listening to this that obviously are not going to be able to make it to the summer shows. Give us the guided tour there, Jonathan.
It could almost be like you were using a digital camera. It sort of feels a bit like a digital camera. On the bottom edges of the unit, on the top edge, you've got two round keys on either side of the unit, and they control power functions, turning the unit on and off, doing resets, etc. They're kind of recessed round keys relating to power. And then you've got three keys on the extreme left and right side of the unit, and they're round. They're what we call the braille function keys, and they allow you to scroll the braille display left and right to move by various units that you care to program, like moving by sentence or by paragraph. And we also have a nice new feature that allows you to control the speed with a couple of these braille function keys at which the braille display auto-scrolls if you put it into a kind of a teleprompter mode. On the front of the unit, we've got a button that at this stage isn't used but will be used for our voice recording software, which is still coming. And we have a joystick. So if I just turn the unit on, there we go. And if I push the joystick down, it's much like the joystick that you would find on a cell phone.
Word processor.
So I'm just pushing the joystick down.
Planner.
And if I push the joystick in at the center,
plan menu.
We're in the planner, so it's like pushing the enter key. So that's the joystick. We've got an 8-dot braille keyboard, kind of on an interesting angle to cover the very small space that we have, because there's also quite a nice round speaker above the dots 1 and dot 4. So although the unit's quite small, it sounds exceptionally good. We've got an 18-cell braille display with cursor routing keys above each cell. And at the back of the unit, we have a serial connector, which is actually a PS2, a special PS2 connector, so you can plug an external keyboard into it. You can use it as a serial port. A number of other options. Next to it is the USB port, which will make many people very happy. We've got the USB port in there. We have an AC adapter socket, and we have stereo headphone sockets, and a little kind of aerial that protrudes, not too far out by any means, but you can definitely feel it, and that is for Bluetooth reception, and that essentially is what the unit is laid out like.
Okay. USB 2?
What we have in this particular device is USB slave, USB client. So it's the kind of USB port that you would find in most mobile devices. It will be useful for things like ActiveSync or using it with a cell phone, but it's not the full USB that you would find on a laptop, for example.
Okay. In terms of connectivity and storage as well, are there any card slots at all? And can you give us the spec? I'm sure that's what people want to hear.
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot about the card slot. There's a compact flash card slot in the back. And at the moment, I have in mine a card from SanDisk that's working as a 128 megabytes compact flash card and a Wi-Fi card in the same slot. So it's the slot's doing double duty. There is just that one slot, and you have 8 megabytes of user storage on board. So the thing here is that because we're bringing the Braille Note, as we currently know it, very much up to speed in terms of functionality, people will be able to make a choice. Do they want to go for the extreme portability and perhaps make a few sacrifices in terms of storage and slots, or do they want what we call the power PDA, that is the Braille Note, with two slots and more memory on board and things. This Braille Note PK is really designed to be a companion to a PC. So it's super fast. You get your job done quickly, but you would be expected to synchronize with your PC quite regularly. And that's effortless because you can active sync via the Bluetooth using the virtual serial port on the PC, or you can active sync via the USB port. As soon as a connection is made between the two devices, the active sync connection is initiated. You don't have to go into the utilities menu and turn it on. So we have provided all sorts of ways that you can synchronize your data. And also, of course, because we're network aware on here, it's really easy for you to log on to your network at home or a corporate network and dump all your files, save them as Word files, and put them on your PC.
Is there an RJ45 connector there for connecting to the LAN? And also, is there any kind of built-in modem, or is that something you would need to connect separately?
We have a built-in modem in the full Braille notes. And no, there's no RJ45 connector. What you would do is you'd get a compact flash network card. We sell one at the moment from Socket Communications, which is really good because it's a low-power Ethernet card. It means it doesn't drain the battery too much. And you pop it in the compact flash slot, and there's a little cable that protrudes that connects to a standard network cable, and you're connected.
Okay. Can you tell us about the action on the keys? Obviously, something with such a small form factor. Are there any sacrifices in terms of the keyboard, or is this going to be familiar fare for those people already using Braille notes? And also, the case, you mentioned the product was rugged. Is the case metallic, or is it a tough plastic composite? Or what does the product feel like?
The keyboard action is very different from the Braille notes. That's mainly because the angle is quite different of the keys just to get them in. I don't think people will find it quite as ergonomic as a Braille note, but that's the kind of sacrifice that you have to make if you want something you can whip out of your pocket and Braille anywhere. The action, it's a good springy kind of action, and it's very quiet. It's quite a bit quieter than the existing Braille note line, which may appeal to some people. The case, it comes with a really attractive black carrying case, which mine isn't at the moment, but the actual unit body itself is magnesium. So it's really solid. It feels, you know, like it inspires confidence. It doesn't feel like this thing is going to break, and it is very robust.
Okay, and you mentioned the Bluetooth there. So obviously, where you can't get Wi-Fi access, you can, if you have a Bluetooth capable mobile phone, I guess you could use that as a modem if you needed to get online. That's something that you expect people will be doing with this?
Yes, in fact, I can show you this. I've got a nicely initialized Braille Note PK here. We have a whole range of communication options. I'm just rebooting the device now, and you can hear it start up for yourself. People will notice a significant speed increase here too. So that's the chime, and we're coming up to
CD version 6, Alpha 4, Build 4, Main Menu.
So we're very early on in this process. Let's go back in here and
Bluetooth on, yes. Search for devices. Searching for Bluetooth devices. Please wait.
And now it's going away to search, and we'll see if it finds anything. One thing I should say about Bluetooth that's really impressed me as I've been to various trade shows is that it's actually quite a good way of finding people. Because one of the big things about going to these conventions as a blind person is locating people in a crowd.
You know, Ivan Mosen's Nokia 6600.
There we are. So you know that someone's there, but you don't know where. And I find that if I use the Braille Note PK to search for Bluetooth devices, if someone's got a cell phone or another Braille Note PK or whatever, and they've named their device, it actually lets you know that they're within radius. It's an amazingly useful thing, and a side effect. So now we've got Jonathan Mosen's Nokia 6600, and that's also come up on the Braille display.
Active Sync.
And I can choose to use Active Sync.
There with Jonathan Mosen's Nokia 6600, and activate Active Sync.
I don't want to do that. We'll go on.
Active Sync. Modem.
Let's use the modem option. We can also do object exchange and a range of other things.
There with Jonathan Mosen's Nokia 6600, and activate modem.
Yes, I press Y.
Authenticate device.
Now it's asking me to authenticate device. I have to enter a PIN here that I will type on the Braille Note PK and on my cell phone. So I'm going to type 1234 just for the sake of this demonstration and press Enter. And now, if I get the cell phone out of the pocket, the cell phone will hopefully
card inserted.
Come back and prompt me. In fact, what's happened there is that the cell phone has accepted the pair because I was using this earlier, so that's okay. We've now come back and paired with the phone. Normally what would happen if you were starting from scratch is that the phone would come back and say, please enter that same PIN number. You would enter it and they'd be connected. And at that point, as long as your phone's within, say, about 10 meters of you, you can use it as a modem and dial up on the internet, do your email, do all the things that you could do with a regular modem.
So do you want to just show people then how, once they've got that connection active, then how they would get online?
Sure. I've got a service in my PK called mobile. So if I go to the web browser, I'm back at the main menu, so I'll press I for internet.
Address. Press enter for www.postdata.com/pweb.
I love that, www. Okay, I'm going to press enter.
Service to call. Press enter for Mosin Explosion.
Now, the Mosin Explosion is my local service.
Mosin Explosion, end of list.
Now, actually, I don't have it set up, so that's fine. We'll just get out of here, and I will add a service. So what we would do is go into the... let's go and check whether we have a network configuration set up.
Options, connectivity menu, network configuration menu, network configuration to look up. Home Wi-Fi, mobile.
Okay, so there's mobile, so that's fine. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll change the Mosin Explosion directory to use the mobile setting. This is all, remember, in alpha, and we're tidying this up, so we'll go in here.
Directory of services menu. Service to look up. Mosin Explosion. Service Mosin Explosion. Service name, email account name, network configuration name, internet home.
And so we'll go into mobile. Network, I need to change. There we go. Mobile.
End of list.
And we'll save that.
Confirm changes. Network configuration name, mobile.
Main now menu. We can go in.
Address. Press enter for dub. Please wait. Pulse data braille note web browser page.
Okay, now we're online with the Bluetooth setting. So I can, for example, go.
Address. Press enter for www.pulsedata.com.
And we can go to www.acbradio.org and press enter.
Please wait.
And it will just load that page. So we're connected.
Welcome to Black Radio, the voice of the world's blind community.
So here we are. I could be in a taxi, I could be in a bus, I could be on a train, and surfing at that kind of with that kind of reliability, just using the cellular network now that I'm connected with Bluetooth.
Let's talk some more about the PK software. You mentioned the media player earlier. Now, that's based on Windows Media Player. Am I understanding that right?
That's right. We have the Windows Media Player architecture underneath, and we've put a really cool user interface over the top with features, for example, like when you're listening to a media file, you get this kind of scroll bar that's going across the braille display. And obviously, if you're not in the media player, it's just doing whatever you're in, like the web processor. But if you pop back into the braille display, you immediately get a tactile indication of where you are in the file, how far through the file you are, because there's this kind of little bar that moves across the braille display. You can jump around by various elements. And if you find that you have to exit the file for some reason, you know, you're listening to a good Wilbur Smith novel and your boss comes in, you can exit the media player and it will remember exactly where you were when you start again. I'll just briefly demonstrate the media player because we've made some big changes there. And it gives me a chance to show off some networking features. So I'm just, I've put during the break there a network card in to the BrailleNote PK. So if I go into the media player now.
Play media file in which folder? Press enter for general.
So general's on my local flash disk here, but I can back out.
Drive. Press enter for flash disk.
Now we can use the flash disk, which is the built-in memory on the PK. We can use the storage card, which is a compact flash card, or we can use network. So I'm going to press N for network.
Network place. List of network places. Browse entire network.
So this is a nice freshly initialized BrailleNote PK, so we don't have any network places recorded, but you can record network places. For example, if you go to the C drive on a particular computer a lot, you can store that to get to it easily. But in this case,
network domain.
So it's asking for the network domain. In this case, I'm going to put Mosin because I'm on my local network at home as we record this.
Network server.
And we'll put Jonathan, which is the name of the computer I want to access.
Network resource.
And let's have a look here.
Log into network server list. Resource, two backslashes, Jonathan, backslash, if, dollar sign. Username.
And it's asking me for the username because I'm running a Windows XP machine, and so there's some security issues. I'll just type my username, and you can hear that. Well, you probably can't hear it. The Braille keyboard is very quiet.
Password.
And I'm just going to type in the password, and it warns me that computer Braille is required.
Domain.
And we'll just press enter on that.
Update default credentials. Currently, yes.
Yes.
End of list. Windows C networking. Saving your network password on this device could expose your network to unauthorized access if this device is lost or stolen. Do you wish to save anyway?
Well, if I had one of the very few brown OPKs in the world lost or stolen, my life wouldn't be worth living anyway, so we'll push Y.
List of resources on Jonathan.
And now I'm browsing my hard drive on my PC.
C.
So I found drive C.
Map resource to name. Press enter for C.
And that'll do.
Play media file in which folder. Press enter for none.
So let's see.
Play media. Sub Amanda's photos.
Okay, now I'm in. So I'll go into leftovers.
Blame.
Which is a kind of
leftovers.
Area where I'm putting.
Play media file in which directory. Sub 60s.
We'll go into the 70s. And we'll see if we can find some ABBA.
No more
okay.
Subdirectories of network. Exit. Play media. Media file to play.
Let's see if we can find some ABBA. Okay, so I push enter. And now it's playing. Hopefully, here we go. Now that's quite faint. So I can turn up the volume of the music that's coming up while the speech is the same.
Options menu.
There we go. So that's a good balance. I can exit to the main menu now.
Main menu.
And go into the word processor.
Folder name. Press enter for PPI. Main menu.
And we've got independent control of the music and the speech. Now, if I exit the MP3 player.
Main menu.
And we're back out of the main menu now, and I stopped it. When I go back in.
Continue playing ABBA. Does your mother know that MP3?
Now, when I press Y. It picked up exactly from where it left off. Not necessarily that useful for music, but really good if you're using audio tutorials or audio books of that kind. So you can do all that with Windows Media Wave and the whole range of other formats that I mentioned before, and play stuff off any network drive that you have access to. That also applies, for example, if you're sitting in a conference and you need to access a Word document that's on your local drive on your corporate network and you're in the office, you can look at those in grade 2, you can make changes, you can send documents to people, you've got full wireless network access. It's really quite impressive.
Just a quick question about the network setup there, Jonathan. When you were configuring the access to your local area network, I believe you were asked to enter the domain initially. Is that the same as the work group?
Yes, it is. If you're using just a regular home-type network, that would be your work group. That's right.
You specified the name of the machine on the network that you wanted to access. You specified that manually. Will there be the ability to browse a list of machines at any stage?
Yes, I expect so. This is the first cut of our network clients that was released yesterday as we record this. So they've given it to me to have a play with and come back with some suggestions. And the one about domain versus work group is a good one. We need to come up with language that indicates that it applies to both a work group and a domain. So those are all things that will come right on the night, as it were, before we release.
The media player, I guess the $64,000 question that ACB radio listeners will want to know, where are we with streaming?
Fairly close, I'd say. It's not going to be in the first in this particular batch of releases, but it's not far away. And just to amplify on that point, what I felt it was important to do is to get the infrastructure right. So what we're doing is we're coming out with hardware that really allows us to offer people the kind of features that a connected mobile computer-aware blind person expects in the 21st century. So once we get these releases out and we get products in people's hands that's updated, running a nice modern version of the operating system, the sky's the limit, really. And I want to make sure that we open up the platform so that long-awaited software developers kit is out. And I think you'll find that with such a powerful machine, such a small machine too, and a great user interface, that there will be a real community that builds around the Braille Note as talented developers get their chance to write, I don't know, everything from a power email client to a power MP3 player with a graphics equalizer and all of that sort of stuff. So this is building the foundations for a very exciting Braille Note future.
Earlier I asked you quite a leading question about the blindness-specific product versus the mainstream. product. Will there be a Braille Notes SDK?
Yes, absolutely, unequivocally yes. I would expect it in the first half of next year. We're undertaking a significant, as you can see, a significant upgrading of our core infrastructure, if you like. The hardware things run on, major software enhancements. When that program is complete, and we've got those releases out, then we'll ask the development team to work on the SDK. When it comes out, I want it to be robust enough and flexible enough for people to really go to town and write some amazing stuff. I appreciate that, you know, it has been promised, and we are certainly going to deliver it. Why I can say that with confidence is that I sat down in, I guess, December of last year, because it takes a while to come up to speed with a job like this because there's so much involved in it. And I sat down and wrote a roadmap for the Braille Note family of products. Where do we want to be in 3, 4, 5 years' time? And coming out of that was the very clear conviction that we needed to improve the resource allocation towards the Braille Note, the number of engineers we had, quality assurance people, and we've done that. The board and the senior management team of Pulse Data are deeply committed to the Braille Note and given us the resources that we need to really speed things up. And I think what you're seeing now is the result of that roadmap coming to fruition, actually emerging in tangible ways for blind people to actually get their hands on and know that things are happening. So the software developers kit is in the roadmap, and it is going to happen unquestionably.
People will want to know, tell us about your involvement with the development of these products. Have you mentioned the roadmap there, and obviously you're sitting now a year on from taking your post with Pulse Data with a PK in your hands, and that must be tremendously rewarding. Tell us about your involvement in these product developments.
Well, what happens is that under the way that we're structured, the product managers, if you like, buy the products from our development division. So it's my job to sit down with our development team, an incredibly talented bunch of people too. You know, I love working with them because they come up with such good stuff. And you say to them, I would like to have this. How can we make this happen? And when can we have it? And then they will ask questions such as, well, when you say you want the planner to synchronize with Microsoft Outlook, what precisely do you mean? You know, write us a spec. Tell us exactly what you want it to do. So I draw up the kind of parameters in conjunction with lots of consultation with those guys. And in the end, say, yes, I'm happy with the spec. Please go ahead and develop it. So that's my role. And as the product develops, they bring it to me long before it ever gets to the beta phase and say, here's how we're going, is this what you wanted? And sometimes I'll say, no, it's not. or other times I'll say, gosh, this is better than I ever imagined. This is absolutely what I was dreaming of. So that's what I do. And at a sort of a personal level, it's incredibly rewarding because you have these ideas and you sit down with all these brainy people who can make it happen and these things emerge. And it's kind of like having worked on these projects for so long and looked at the way we're structured and what we need to prioritize and stuff, and now seeing this material coming out of the development department, it's sort of like sitting down and eating a good meal. There's all this time been spent in the preparation, and now you're at the point where you can start thinking about enjoying it, and it's really brilliant.
And how much can users influence what goes on in terms of the development of their assistive technology?
Well, I've been monitoring this industry for a very long time, obviously through my work with ACB Radio, but long before that, just because I was sort of interested. And I think that users have, or well, one of the best chances to influence our products. I would put GW Micro very highly in this area too, that people like Doug Joffre monitor their GW Micro list, and you see them replying all the time, and you know that, you know, okay, maybe they can't wave a magic wand and make it happen, but at least they're listening and they're responding. And I think we're like that. At least we are now. I spend a lot of time on the Braille Notes discussion list. I've been a little bit quieter of late because I sort of got the feeling that people were getting a bit sick of promises. And I thought, okay, I know this stuff is coming. I think the actions speak louder than words, so I'll just be a bit quieter and let all this stuff speak for itself. But I am on the brown note list. I read every post. I reply to a lot of private email. We have a very clear process where if people want something in the brown note, we log it, we discuss it. Every user suggestion is given serious thought, and it does. They do come up in development meetings. And a lot of what people suggested, things like USB, which we've got in the PK, and wireless and all these things, they're things that users have said we must have. And enough users have said we must have it, and so now they do.
Let's talk about the release schedule for the various products that we've talked about. If you could summarize the various announcements this week and when people can get their hands on this stuff, at least to demonstrate, and then when can people buy the stuff and take it home?
See, this is like karma, I suppose, because I used to nag people on Main Menu about time frames, and I know they used to hate it. I'll give you my best shot. We should be shipping the new Braille cells on the existing Braille Note platform quite soon, I guess in the next month or so. We will be looking at releasing the Braille Note PK early in the fourth quarter, so sort of, you know, maybe late September, October, or thereabouts. We do want to make sure that it's thoroughly tested, it's robust, it's going to be a piece of technology that we anticipate will be used by professional people, and we want it to be dependable. And we're looking at later in the fourth quarter for the Keysoft 6.1 upgrade for existing customers that will involve that operating system change and the Keysoft change all on a compact flash card that will be sent to them. So between now and the end of the year, you basically know what our roadmap is looking like.
And for those people on a budget, will there be a voice-only version of the PK?
No. The voice note is quite a small device anyway. And so we think that the Keysoft 6.1 upgrade on a voice note would just about satisfy most of people's requirements in that regard. I didn't mention Brailliant. Again, we'd probably be looking at late August for the Brailliant, but these things are subject to change, and I'd far rather have us get a product out that blind people can depend on than rush it, but they're certainly well underway.
So people should really make an effort to come along to the shows. Obviously, this week you're in Atlanta, and next week Birmingham, and the week after you're over in the UK at Site Village in Birmingham in the UK, and you would encourage people to come and get some hands on, and all of these products will be available at the Pulse Data booth for people to try out.
Yeah, you won't see 6.1 on the existing Braille Note at this point, but however, you'll get a feel for what 6.1 on the existing Braille Note will be like when you get to see the Braille Note PK, which has very similar software on it. You'll certainly see the Braillians there. And yeah, I'd love to meet people as always. At the ACB convention in Birmingham, as they say in the States, we have a seminar taking place on the Wednesday from 5 till 7. I'm sure that the convention program, which is available on the web, will tell you about venues, etc. for that. I'll be there showing you the Braille Note PK, passing it round. I'll make sure I get the jolly thing back, though. And what else will we do? Oh, answering questions and all of those things. And at Site Village in the UK, also in Birmingham, we will be there with presentations a number of times each day, outlining our various new blindness products, and also with Braille Note PKs and Braillians on the stand for you to have a play with.
Excellent, excellent. Well, do you want to finish up by giving us contact details for those people that don't have them? I'm sure everybody listening to this program knows how they get hold of you, Jonathan, but you just never know.
Hey, you never know. Okay. You can go. There will be information, I expect, by now, by the time this program airs. You have to appreciate we're recording this a little early, but by the time this program airs, we would anticipate that information about all these products that I've mentioned will be on the Pulse Data website at www.pulsedata, that's all one word, pulsedata.com. If you want to, you're welcome to, there are contact numbers there for your local Pulse Data office, but if you want to talk to me personally, my email address is jonathanm@pulsedata.com. Just bear in mind that I'm traveling until the end of July pretty much, so my response time may not be as quick as it normally is.
Okie doke. Jonathan Mosen, good luck, and thanks very much.
Thanks for your time.